Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 118 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we actually made an audible right before we started doing the show.
Omaha! Omaha!
Seriously, dude, my notes now look like a playbook. It's like a this segment is running a hook route or a post pattern. Scott, on this show, we are going to go into the finals of Macho Madness. We have a listener segment / fantasy wrestling figure booking. We have nostalgia. We are going to round out the TNA line. And then we are going to do who did it better. I think everyone's going to appreciate this one.
I think so. After the week we just had. It's well-deserved.
Yes, very much so. Everyone, head on over to ProWrestlingTees and WhatAManeuver.net. Pick up the Fully Posable Cardback T-shirt. Go ahead and pick up any of our past previous T-shirts, like our Wrestling Figure Fest. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts on FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify.
Don't forget about Spotify.
Please rate and review on iTunes, Scott. I think my iPod is in the car.
Excellent. So are we scrapping the iPod looking up?
Yeah, I don't feel like running out to the car right now.
Okay, no glorious reviews this week.
The review comes in from Celeste, the editor.
Did she give us a 5-star ski?
She gave us the middle finger emoji. That's good. Oh, thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. Well-deserved, too.
You can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, any toy spotting this past week?
Yes, I did the traditional Walmart toy spotting. And the traditional Walmart disappointment, walk of shame out of the wrestling figure aisle because they really didn't have anything. Big surprise there. They did get in a stock of the WrestleMania Elites and 2-packs, or the battle packs, if you will. But I skipped all of that, basically went home, cried a little bit that I didn't have any good toy spotting, and then received a killer message from Travis Fowler, who wins MVP of the week. Because he did my toy spotting for me. Travis is sending me an NXT Elite Ember Moon because I've had such a hard time finding one. And when I did find one, it was in horrible condition. Travis is hooking me up. He's sending me an Ember Moon. I can't thank him enough. Travis, thank you so, so much. I truly appreciate that.
This is what I love about the listeners, man. You guys do this out of the kindness of your hearts. You guys are awesome for doing this. We over here, aside from the stuff that we gave away at our meet and greet, Scott and I have never received one free figure, not from FTC, not from Mattel. Ringside did send the box over for our meet and greet. That went to the listeners, but we've never received one free figure. This is everything we've ever received is the kindness of your guys' heart. And seriously, from the bottom of ours, we appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you so much. You know, again, we're not going to ask for it, but we truly appreciate it when you guys do it. You go out of your way. Christopher Dean did it with the Gargano and the Ciampa and the, I believe it was Rezar. Just totally taking care of us. And that's just awesome. And we truly appreciate it. Like Jeff said, to his point, we truly appreciate when you guys do that. Thank you so much.
Well, that's awesome. I'm happy to hear that. And also, remember when we had the two Randy emails? You had your Randy and I had my Randy?
Yes, we had dueling Randys that week.
Yes, my Randy sent you the Mean Gene Okerlund Elite Flashback set. So it's the lighting stand, the backdrop, the stand itself. He sent you the accessories.
Oh, that's awesome. So Macho Man's going to have something to whack Warrior with.
Right, right.
Excellent. Thank you, man. Thank you very much.
Yes. Your Randy turned heel on you, and my Randy came to save you.
Yeah. Swinging the lighting structure. Thank you so much, Randy. I appreciate that, man.
I did not do toy spotting this past week. However, the editor just recently left her job and is going to a new job. So while she was leaving her job, I said, hey, why don't you go to Toys R Us in Dublin and do some toy spotting while you're out there one last time? And she did. She found the Big Show, TRU Fan Central, former TRU Fan Central. She picked that up for me. That's a great figure. I love that figure.
Nice. The best Big Show figure ever made, in my opinion.
Also, one of our listeners, Stephen Hoker, he sent over the Bobby Heenan Fan Central.
Nice. And,
dude, I just looked at it and I held it. And it was one of those, I wish Bobby was still alive.
Yeah.
Because I would love to get it signed in a white paint pen. I was thinking about it, but... unfortunately, but it's a really good Bobby figure. Like, I was really impressed with it. And actually holding it, I think it might be better than the one that came in the Heenan 4-pack.
Oh, wow. Because that one in the Heenan 4-pack is awesome.
Well, what I really like about this is the black jacket. And it has the BH on it. And it just reminded me of Manager Heenan. Now, I know the white outfit was from WrestleMania 3.
Right.
But the black jacket just had the signature Heenan look.
Yeah, that was like his Saturday Night's Main Event outfit.
Right, right. So Scott, oh, and the editor also picked up the, and it's Jax, the Pillow Buddies.
Oh, yeah.
She picked up the Jax AJ.
Or
the
Pillow Jax AJ. Does make those.
Yes, it is Jax. And she picked up the Pillow Buddy AJ.
Nice, nice. Yes. Are you sleeping with that every night?
No, funny you mention. I woke up the other morning and Daryl the cat was like cuddled up next to me.
Weird. Was he cleaning himself?
Yes, he was. Of course, he's a cat. It's like Teddy. It's like Teddy Hart's cat. He cleans himself.
Well, if you wake up one night and AJ Styles is cleaning himself,
no,
might be a little strange.
Yes, but anyways, Finn Balor Pillow Buddy and AJ Pillow Buddy are having wrestling at matches at night when we go to bed.
Didn't you get a Joey Ryan one too?
Yes, I did. That one's on our bed. The AJ and the Finn are out on the couch.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't put the three of those together because AJ and Finn would be in big trouble hanging out with the Joey Ryan one.
Oh, there would be, well, there would be suplexes galore.
Suplexes, lollipops, oil.
baby oil, yeah.
Right.
Scott, we are going to go into Macho Madness. We have no news, so what do you say we jump into Macho Madness?
Let's talk about that.
1, 2, you hear the clock ticking.
Tick, tock.
You about to stop living.
Tick, tock.
I want you to remember me.
Tick, tock.
But the day don't have no memory.
I'm coming!
Scott, actually discussing during the middle of the break, we did kind of have a little bit of news. Ringside did receive the retro style ring, and we got a good look at it, kind of.
Yeah, they have a video up. They take it all apart, or I should say they unbox it, and they're putting it all together. It looks awesome. We had gotten a question from David Meyer on Twitter about our opinion on the ring. I don't want to issue an opinion until I have it in front of me, and I've actually like seen the quality and put it all together and have the finished product in front of me and have a few figures in there. It looks amazing, but I don't want to go off of a video. Again, Ringside Collectibles does have a video up of the retro ring, so you can go check it out, see all the pieces, the stickers. They've got figures in the ring. They're bouncing them around. It looks awesome, but I can't speak to it yet because I don't have it personally in front of me to kind of review. As soon as I do or as soon as Jeff does, we'll definitely let you guys know about it. But if you want to check it out in the interim, Ringside Collectibles has it up. And if you're going to buy it, don't forget, 10% off if you use code FULLYPOSABLE.
I was reading the reviews on Reddit and some people were really trashing it. Some people were in favor of it, but there were some people trashing it. And I'm like,
what are they trashing exactly?
They said the quality didn't look as good as the old Hasbro ring. And I kind of see their point, but again, it goes back to what you just said. We need to have it in hand before we can make an official opinion of it.
Yeah, I won't issue a true opinion until I'm able to actually have it in front of me and throw some figures in there and see what's going on. But I mean, the looks of it, I think it looks cool. I love the dual belt display too. And in the video, Ringside actually sticks two tag team belts on there, but they're from the Elite sets. It's not like the retro size belts.
So again, Ringside Collectibles, fully posable code, 10%. Scott, Macho Madness. I'm about to read these off and then we will be in the finals. Are you ready?
No. I'm not, because one of them was a huge shocker to me.
This tournament's been a little bit of a shocker to me. I can't believe Macho Man DM got bounced.
Yeah, that was two fingers and a pinky to me, dude. Like, that was incredibly shocking.
So in the Mattel bracket, Hulk Hogan, defining moment, defeated Finn Balor Elite 41 52% to 48%. Now, here's the thing. The vote was 50-50, and I was planning on closing it on Wednesday. Well, it was 50-50, so I thought, you know what? I'm going to leave it open for one more day.
You can't coin flip this. It's too far into the game, dude. These are not coin flips. First round, second round, yes, but not this round.
Yep. The following day, we got a few more votes, but it ended up coming out. Hulk Hogan, defining moment, defeated Finn Balor Elite 52% to 48%. It was separated by one vote.
Dude, that's as close as you can get.
So who's Hulk Hogan defining moment taking on? Scott's favorite figure, by the way. Hulk Hogan defining moment is taking on Hasbro Mr. Perfect, who defeated Hogan Storm Collectibles 53% to 47%.
That's a huge shocker to me. I thought that that Storm Hogan was unstoppable in that bracket. I did not see a figure that could beat it, dude. And this Mr. Perfect, honestly, this Mr. Perfect has gone way further than I thought. I thought it had the first and second round. Even second round was kind of questionable. Second round, maybe. But dude, to now be up against the Hogan defining moment, that Hasbro Mr. Perfect is like the little engine that could. That one's totally surprised me. I mean, it's a great figure, but that one has completely surprised me with how far it's gone.
Like you said, a lot of people's favorite Hasbro was that Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, it's showing. It's really showing. Good luck to both. And now it's up to the listeners, 100%. I know who my vote is for, but I'm really curious to see. This Perfect has completely surprised me. We'll see what happens in the finals.
What's funny is when we opened up the polls for the finals, we're not doing this on Challenge. The finals is Celeste and I doing tallies on Twitter and Instagram. When we opened up the polls, almost everybody on Twitter voted Hulk Hogan defining moment. Almost, I can't even say the ratio, but basically on IG, everyone was voting for Mr. Perfect.
Oh, wow. So we have a Twitter versus Instagram feud.
Right. Exactly. Wow. So anyways, yeah, that was kind of interesting when we opened up the polls. I swear, dude, it was like one person had Hogan defining moment and then five people would vote Mr. Perfect. And then one person would vote Hogan defining moment and then another three people on IG would vote Mr. Perfect.
Wow.
It was that crazy.
Well, I guess IG is Hasbro territory, huh?
Right. So Scott, we have a little surprise for everyone. And thank you to Travis Fowler, and I gotta go back in time. Wrestling Fig Maniac on Twitter once mentioned, hey, you guys should do a Hall of Fame. Well, I can't remember what happened in New Orleans 2 weeks ago, but I guess back in January, he actually submitted this to us. And I replied, and the only thing I can think of is it was in the morning time and I wasn't thinking.
You had your pre-workout that hadn't even kicked in yet.
Correct, dude. I haven't popped my pre-workout pills or or to put the powder in the orange juice, you know. But yeah, my brain wasn't working, and he actually did a screenshot, found the tweet, and sent it over. And I'm like, holy crap, this was on January 31st. I don't remember this at all. So anyways, he also recommended this a while back. But we over here at Fully Posable are going to have the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Hall of Fame. And in 2 weeks, we will announce our first annual Hall of Fame inductees.
Yes.
Scott and I have set aside the first four figures. There will be the Hall of Fame figures. We're also going to have a Hall of Shame figure in there.
Any guesses, listeners, as to who the first official inductee of the Hall of Shame will be?
Ring Skirts is yelling at his stereo right now or whatever he's listening on. But here's what we're going to add. We're going to add a listener vote. Scott, why don't you go into it?
This show, if anything, has always been about you guys. And so when we got the ideas to have the Figure Hall of Fame, we immediately thought, okay, well, we'll submit some figures and this is going to be great, but the listeners need to have a vote as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a Twitter poll up. We're going to take last year's winner of the Macho Madness Tournament, the Macho Man Defining Moments. We're going to take this year's winner of the Macho Madness Tournament, be that the Mr. Perfect or the Defining Moments Hogan.
Yep, so you guys look for that. It's going to be more voting.
It'll be after the Macho Madness tournament has concluded and we've announced the winner. Then we'll put that vote up and you guys can pick who you want to go into the Figure Hall of Fame.
It will either be Macho Man defining moment versus either Hogan defining moment or Mr. Perfect red card Hasbro. So be checking out for that tweet. We'll be sending that out after Macho Madness has concluded.
Yep, so next week sometime.
So Scott, Macho Madness is almost done after numerous weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to miss it. It's funny, we used to spend a lot of time going round by round and bracket by bracket, but now it's down to two guys. I've got to say I'm shocked. I'm not shocked on the Hogan defining moment. I had a feeling that one was going to be either Final Four or Final Two. Mr. Perfect coming out of the other side, that's a total shocker. Out of all of the figures between Jax, Hasbro, Remco, Galoob, that's the one that escaped that bracket. It blows me away. I thought for sure it was going to be the Storm Hogan, dude.
Oh, I thought so too. I thought we were having a Hogan.
Yeah, it was blowing everybody else out of the water. Like, they weren't even close.
Yep.
And here comes Mr. Perfect. Boom, Perfectplex. That Storm Hogan's out.
We will also be announcing the winners of the Hogan Storm collectible and Fig Life t-shirt and pin combo next week also.
Yeah, I think that was a bracket buster with that Perfect, right?
Exactly. Scott, we are going to round out the TNA nostalgia line here. We're just going to talk about the rings, the two packs. Spoiler alert, that's all we're going to get into. So, what do you say we jump in?
Let's talk about it.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees.
Scott, this is it for the TNA nostalgia line. Why don't you get into it?
Yes, sir. So rounding out the nostalgia, the TNA Toy Biz Marvel line, we have not yet talked about the rings, and we haven't really gone into the two packs. So we'll get into the rings first. One of the first rings that came out was their standard six-sided ring. Nothing flashy about it. It was exactly what you'd expect for the first ring. Then they re-released that same standard ring with an AJ Styles in red. So you got the same ring. It was almost the same box. And then you had a bonus of an AJ Styles figure in red. They also had I believe it was called the X Division Championship, right?
Yes.
I don't know if they still have that or not.
Yes.
They had a ring that had the X, because they would do those Ultimate X matches that had the big X cables on top and they dangle the belt from it. They released that ring. So you had the accessories of the poles on the corners, and then you had the cross cable X that you could dangle the title belt from. That one was packaged with an AJ Styles in green. Then they released a lockdown six sides of steel cage ring that was packaged with Christian, which I believe was in black and blue on that one, black and blue tights. So essentially it was the six-sided ring and you could do the six sides of steel with it. That was the cage accessory that came with it. So you could do that really cool Elix Skipper Hurricane Run off the top of the cage on one of the America's Most Wanted. Pretty cool spot. And then finally, there was an Ultimate X ring similar to the Champion X ring. And that Ultimate X ring was packaged with a Christopher Daniels figure. And I believe he was in white in that box set. And that pretty much rounds out the ring. So they released quite a few. The Ultimate X match, I remember being one of their biggest gimmick matches.
Yep.
But I think that the ring came off pretty well. It was sized well for the figures. You had the X on top that you could hang the belt from, so you could recreate some of those really cool matches. The steel cage, the six sides of steel, that was a cool accessory. Kind of took me back to the LJN with the blue cage accessory. Hasbro, unfortunately, never had one for their ring. But if you had the TNA Toy Biz guys, you could get one of the six sides of steel's accessories for that. Really cool, and I like that they would package figures with them. Really cool touch. I think you should always have a figure with a ring. Why not? Should it be two figures? But if you get one, hey, that's an added bonus. So that pretty much rounds out the rings. And then you would go into the two packs after that we haven't discussed yet. And to round out some of those guys, you had Conan, and he was packaged with BG James / Road Dogg. You had Sabu and Raven, Sting and Jarrett, AJ and Samoa Joe, Jeff Jarrett and Monty Brown, Elix Skipper and Christopher Daniels. And finally, one of the last ones that they ever did was the Rhino and Christian. And that pretty much rounds out the TNA Toy Biz line.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, man. The Christopher Daniels I really liked. I liked the red trim that was on the jacket. The original single pack had the gray trim.
Yes.
I really liked the red, but I wasn't going to spend the money on the two pack just to get the red trim. I wasn't, just for a color change, I wasn't going to spend the money on it.
Right.
I actually have a different opinion. I thought the ring was sized a little bit too small.
Really?
I felt that. It's like we're talking about rings. I never held the ring, but I saw the ring. I didn't feel like it was to scale as the figures that they were producing.
Would you compare it to the Hasbro ring, maybe? Because I always felt the Hasbro ring was a little bit smaller for the figure size.
See, I thought the Hasbro ring was perfect because of how small the figures were.
No, and I get that, but I always felt that it was a little bit, maybe too small. I mean, I love the ring, don't get me wrong, but I felt that maybe it was a little bit too small. Even though the figures were small, I felt the ring was a little bit small. So maybe, you know, in the case of the TNA Toy Biz figures, that's what you were seeing as well.
Yes, exactly, exactly. I do like that they put out the cage. I do like how they put out the Ultimate X, because that was two of their biggest pay-per-views. You had Ultimate X and you had, was it Lethal Lockdown? The pay-per-views?
Yes, correct. Or it was just Lockdown, I think.
Lockdown? Yeah. Anyways, I thought it was a great touch that they put those out. I always saw them sitting on shelves, but I mean, I thought that was a great touch to add those for your collection.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Anytime you can add a gimmick into a ring like that, especially if, like you said, that if it's one of your draws of your pay-per-view, absolutely put that out with the ring. Like Jax or Mattel has done with the Elimination Chamber and the Punjabi Prison match and all those other matches, they always put out the accessory, Ambrose Asylum. So yeah, it was really smart of Toy Biz to do that. I don't know how well they sold.
So I'm glad James Frank brought this to our attention of talking about these figures, because when you go back and look, these figures were good. I mean, for the time and technology that they had at that time, I thought these figures were good. I thought the Christian was good. The AJ Styles were good. They captured AJ at that time period. Christopher Daniels, I thought, was a good figure. I loved the Christopher Daniels. I thought they did really well. Toy Biz really, I shouldn't say hit on each figure, but they hit on a lot of figures. Because I thought the Kurt Angle was bad. I thought, what other one did I think was bad? Was it Rhino? No, it wasn't Rhino. I forget which one, the other one I thought was bad. But anyways, I thought for the majority of they hit on a lot of figures.
But I think the one that defines the Toy Biz TNA line is that Christian. That is one good-looking figure. And I think, honestly, that when I think TNA Toy Biz line, that's the figure that jumps into my mind. So the fact that you can have a line come out and have at least one figure that defines it and is amazing and continues to be at the top of our lists of figures all time, that's a tremendous job.
Yeah. They really made up for missing on WCW back in the late 90s. I thought they did well.
Will you stop? Did not miss on WCW, dude. And I was going to start drawing comparisons between the two. And we need to actually cover the Toy Biz WCW line. I know we've only done Series 1 so far. I think that we need to start jumping into full time talking WCW Toy Biz, because it would be cool to kind of do a compare and contrast on these.
That will be your segment. I will just kick my feet up and eat a sandwich.
One thing that I think that WCW maybe did better, and keep in mind these are all Toy Biz, so you're kind of comparing apples and apples here. I think the scale was better on the WCW Toy Biz figures as opposed to the scale on the TNA Toy Biz. I think WCW did a little bit better job of the scaling as opposed to the TNA Toy Biz.
I think the TNA Toy Biz was better scaling.
Okay.
You're just talking about the figures, right?
Yes.
Yeah, then I would say that the TNA Toy Biz I thought was better. Those are as close to scale as we have gotten since, like, Mattel right now. Mattel is hitting on the scaling, where Jax was ultra beefy guys, and we had tugboats with cookie sheets and, you know.
Yeah, and grossly fat bodies. But then in the Toy Biz WCW line, that giant was huge. The Kevin Nash was huge. And in comparison, the Hogan was a little bit smaller than the Giant was, or than Kevin Nash was. And then you had your little Rey Mysterio, who was shorter than all of them. So in my mind, I think WCW maybe did a little bit better job with the scaling. Just an opinion.
Overall, what'd you think of this series?
I like it a lot, but the problem was I was never a huge TNA fan. It was always, I'll watch it if I'm hanging out with you and special guest Sean, but I wouldn't go out of my way to watch TNA. And so my drive to go get the figures of TNA really wasn't there, really, unless I was talking to you and special guest Sean. And I'd be like, oh yeah, I totally need to go get that figure. The only one that I really went out of my way to get was that Christian. That was the one that I saw and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to have that. I like the line, you know, going back and reviewing it now and looking at the figures, I do like the line a lot, but I think I lean more towards WCW Toy Biz. And we all know my feelings on late 90s WCW. But figures, just looking at the figures themselves, I think I like the WCW ones a little bit better.
I really do like this line. I think the line was really well done for the time. And unfortunately, these sat on pegs because TNA wasn't as big out here. So maybe over on the East Coast, they were bigger, or in the Midwest.
Maybe.
You know, those figures moved. But over here on the West Coast, these were plentiful. There were a couple you couldn't find.
The later series is when it really dried up.
Yeah, and then the Christopher Daniels. I remember since he was big on the West Coast, his figure moved a little bit. AJ, you could find, you know, you would go into a Toys R Us and these figures, or a KB Toys, and his figure would, you could find, what, 5 Abyss, and then you'll find 1 AJ?
Yeah.
So AJ's moved, but unfortunately you could find these anywhere and quickly got red penned down over at KB Toys.
Yeah, yeah, they really did. Overall, I do like this line, but I lean more towards the WCW Toy Biz than I do the TNA. Just a preference.
As far as looks, I actually like the TNA. So we differ on that one, brother.
Yes, we do. And yep. That's okay.
Scott, our next segment, we have the listener segment. And then we're doing fantasy wrestling figure booking?
A little bit. A little bit.
We don't talk wrestling bookings on this show, dude.
No, we keep it to wrestling figures.
But we will talk wrestling figure booking.
Yes, we will. And we shall.
Scott, our first audio submission comes in from Jonathan Mayer, except it's a toy spotting story. So let's see what he's got to say.
Hey, Scott and Jeff, it's Jonathan in Illinois with a quick toy spotting story for you. So tonight I'm at Walmart. We're picking up some groceries, and as per the norm, you know, I'm going to go down the toy aisle and see what they have. And typically they don't get much new stock in there, but turn down the aisle and notice they have got some new figures. They had Basic Series 82, and they also had Elite Series 56, along with some others. But the new stuff were those two series. And I had seen the Luke Gallows from 56 before in one other Walmart. I did not pick it up and had kind of regretted it since then, because it's a great-looking figure. It's got the molded jacket, but it's really nice-looking. I told myself, if I see that one again, it's got a good box, I'm going to buy it. So I see it towards the back. I grab it. Perfect corners. I'm buying this. So head back over to find my wife. You know, I'm going down the, you know, the ice cream aisle, picking up a little ice cream before I find her, and walk by a mom and the kid and not paying much attention. Next thing I know, I hear this kid saying, hey, is that WWE Elite Series? Is that Series 54? So my ears perked up, and, you know, this kid's speaking my language. Probably the first time I heard somebody talking that way out in the wild, you know, that knew what they were talking about. And so I said, no, it's actually 56. And, you know, I showed him that it was Luke Gallows, and he gets all excited, and he wants to see it. He's like, can I see it? And goes to grab the figure. So in my head, I'm excited that this kid's, you know, happy, and it puts a smile on my face, reminds me of what I was like at that age. But I'm also thinking, hey, get your grubby hands off of this figure. It's a perfect box. You're going to mess it up, and I don't want to give you the figure, but I did. And he shows his mom, and he's excited, and then he asked me if they had AJ Styles, and I said they did. I know they had a basic back there. I'm not sure if they had the elite that was in this series or not, but I'm thinking, if I say yes, then you're going to give me my figure back and I can get on my way, buddy. I just thought that was kind of a funny story, you know, to see the kid that had so much excitement just reminded me of what I was like back at that age. And to be honest, what I'm like at the age of 40 as well. But thought you guys would enjoy that. Look forward to hearing your post-mania show. You probably already recorded at this point, and all your shows in the future. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Jonathan. That's a great submission. I love to hear the toy spotting stories, especially when they involve the kids. That is the next generation of collector. And it's just great to see the excitement when a little kid sees the wrestling figures and they're picking out their favorites. And especially for him to call out, is that Elite Series 54? Like, dude, that's amazing. And all I can say is, I'm thinking the same thing that you said when the kid asks to hold your figure. I'm like, oh, he's going to damage the box. Cringing inside, I'm like, no. But that's awesome that you got to find a kid that was super excited about the figures, and he asked about AJ. I'm just really happy that the kid didn't pull a 13-year-old Scott on you and take your figure and go wandering down another aisle, never to be seen again, like I did with that one dude when I took SD Jones out of his hands and wandered off. So kudos to you that you still walked out with a Luke Gallows, met another wrestling figure collector out there and a young one. Those are great stories to hear, man. I love to hear about the kids getting into the figures.
That's funny, because I was thinking that the kid was going to damage the box when I was listening to the story. All I could think is his hands are on it. The corners are getting bent, because, you know, the kids don't care, man. Like, we, when we were kids, man, when we saw the blue LJN box, man, that thing got cracked open. But man, I was thinking this kid was going to bend the corners, you know, grubby hands all over it.
Dent the plastic, something.
Yeah, yeah, me being a germaphobe, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's probably got a cold or something. He's a kid.
Let's also mention Jeff does not have children of his own.
Yeah, correct. That's why I stick with dogs who also carry germs, but...
Yeah.
But anyways, exactly. That's awesome to hear, man. By the way, did you ask him if he listens to the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure podcast? Just wondering. Asking for a friend.
Well done.
Thank you. Jonathan, thank you for submitting that. It's great to, as you said, Scott, that's great to hear the younger generation of collectors, you know, already popping for figures.
Yep, that's the next group coming up, man. We got to take care of those guys.
That is a great story. Thank you again, Jonathan. Scott, our next audio question comes in from good brother Nicholas Jacoby. What does Nicholas got to say?
Hey, Scott and Jeff. Nick Jacoby here with another audio question. This time I got another tough one for you guys to debate and break down. So the question is, which superstars do you think they do the best with each of their elite figures? Meaning, throughout all the figures that they've released for each of these superstars, which do you think they've done the best of? My opinions being Finn Balor, Kane, and Macho Man being three examples. I think they've really nailed all of the Finn Balors, all of the Macho Mans, and the Kanes. So what do you guys think? Who are some of the superstars that they've really nailed all of their figures and not just one or two of them? Thank you, guys.
Well, not Bret Hart.
Or Sasha Banks.
Okay, so we've got to break it down. Who has had multiple figures?
Finn Balor, Demon. They have not missed yet.
Well, I don't even think they've missed on a Finn Balor. Like, even the basic and the ringside exclusive I thought were awesome.
Oh, no, that's very true. That's very true. Just going with the Demon, they have not missed. And you're right, Jeff, even when he's not Demon, which there's going to be more of those, I'm sure. Yeah, they have not missed on a Finn. They have all been good.
So he said Kane. Obviously, definitely agree with that one.
Yeah, even their basics are outstanding.
Macho Man, 100% agree.
Yep.
Hogan, they've nailed every single time.
Every Hogan has been good, yes.
Well, let's even go back to the Walmart basic where it was the t-shirt series and he came with the yellow tank top Hulk Rules.
Yes.
That was excellent. That was great.
Yep. They nailed that one.
Yeah, Hogan defining moment. What about Cactus Jack? So they had Cactus Jack. Well, they are coming out with Dude Love.
Yeah, Dude Love's coming.
And Mankind, it seems like they hit with all three of his personas.
Yeah, Mick Foley is a really, really well-done figure by Mattel.
Triple H, I guess, can be another one you could say. I can't think of a bad Triple H.
Nia Jax.
She's had two basics, yeah, and they've hit on both one. And they actually changed the face sculpt on each one, too. So, yeah. But let's think about guys they've had multiple of. Like, who else can we throw out there that they've produced numerous times? Shawn Michaels.
No, but see, they did that one Shawn Michaels that was the network exclusive with the blue tights, and you didn't care for that head sculpt on it.
Oh, it was awful. Numerous people even swapped off the heads.
Right, right. But dude, honestly, like, you take one that's probably their most produced figure, John Cena. I mean, aside from people's feelings about John Cena, I think that's one that Mattel does really, really well. I mean, the one defining moments is probably not great, but I think that was more due to the accessories and them trying to push it off as a defining moments when it really maybe wasn't a defining moments figure.
Was that the Chain Gang one?
Yes. But the figure itself, like if you just look at Cena, it's a well-done Cena figure. It may not be a defining moments, but it's a well-done Cena. I think most of their Cenas have been really well done. I mean, it is Cena. You can look at it and go, yep, that's John Cena.
Yeah. There have been earlier Roman Reigns I wasn't a fan of.
Yeah, there was the high Roman Reigns that just came out recently, too, that wasn't too great.
Like heavily medicated Big E?
Yes, exactly. Natalya?
I actually liked the head sculpt on Natalya in the earlier basics.
The one that came out, though, in the black outfit was amazing.
Yeah, that one was good. It was good.
I thought that one was really well done. Revival has been nailed in their few releases.
Yeah.
The club. They've absolutely nailed the club.
Let's think of multiple, like, guys that they've produced multiple times over and over. Like Seth. I know that there have been some Seth figures where they gave them, and usually we're proponents of having expression on the faces.
Yeah, sometimes it misses, though.
Yeah, there's been a couple Seths where I'm like, no, not with the open mouth and screaming, no.
Yeah. What about AJ? I think all the AJs have been good. Some of them really good, but they've all at least been good.
No, because with the Elite 47, I believe it was, he had that stoic face, and I just did not like that stoic face.
I prefer the FTC face over that one, but I don't think that that first AJ was bad. I think it was a decent AJ figure. It was a good AJ figure. It wasn't... sorry, phenomenal. but they've gotten better. I think that AJ figure was good, and since then they've gotten better. Another name I'll throw out there is Batista.
Batista's been good. Even the blue Tista, I thought was, even though I never bought it, I thought was a pretty well done figure.
Yep, the Eddie Guerreros that they've done have been really well done.
Eddie's have been spot on.
Yep.
Ric Flair. Well, I didn't like the the only reason I didn't like it was because the package on the Defining Moment.
Oh right, yeah, the robe.
Yeah, where he had the blue robe and it was open. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, not including accessories, I think that the Flares overall have been really well done.
Yeah, so there's multiple guys they've done where I thought they've hit on pretty well.
But I think overall, like if you could pick one guy that Mattel has absolutely nailed every single release, I'm gonna go with Finn.
I have to agree with Nicholas Jacoby, Finn and Kane.
Yeah, gun to my head though, if I can only pick one, I'm going Finn.
Gotcha. And I would say Macho Man too.
Oh, they've done an excellent job. But every time they release a Finn, it's like you cannot find fault with it. The ringside exclusive with the Balor Club jacket, that one's amazing. All of the Demon figures that they've put out have just been spot on, perfect. So I'm going to go Finn.
Nicholas, thank you for your question. I hope we tagged everyone that we thought had multiple figures and looks good on each one. So we probably forgot someone. I know we did.
Well, we didn't mention Dean Ambrose. He's had a ton of figures, but not all of them have been great.
Right. The faces on the earlier Ambroses were kind of meh.
Yeah, but dude, honestly, like every figure being great, I think it's Finn. I mean, one figure out of the entire Mattel line that's been done multiple times, that's been great every time, I would have to be Finn and Kane. Like exactly like you said and exactly like Jacoby said.
Yep. So, Nicholas, thank you for sending that in, brother. Scott. Weekly question comes in from Josh Thompson. Hey guys, JT here. What are some features slash things that you would want Mattel slash Figures Toy Company to add to their figures? For Mattel, I can't think of any other things they could add to the Elites. Although for figures like Kurt Angle and Jordan, I'd wish they had it where you could remove the straps for posting purposes. As for FTC, I'd like to see them add a chest articulation piece to the figures. I think that would look nice and add more posing and playability for the figures. What do you think? I agree regarding FTC. One of the things that I mentioned when you and I had our little back and forth regarding FTC a couple weeks ago is that I think they should go with Deluxe Aggression style bodies. I think that would... I don't know if it would warrant the $30, but it would make it easier for collectors to have that chest articulation. And having that Deluxe Aggression style body, I think, would be best if they went that route. But like you and I mentioned, we don't know the cost on that.
I'm fine with them as they are. I really have no complaints about the FTC line at all. I love the accessory. And you and I have, you know, we've talked about the FTCs a lot. I love the figures that they put out. I love the sculpts that they do. I love the accessories, the clothing. Everything about them is fine with me. If they switched over to the deluxe bodies, I'd be okay with that too. So I really can't nitpick on the FTC with Mattel's. I think that they're moving in the right direction. I love that they're doing on some of the figures with the removable costumes or with the removable outfits, like the Andre the Giant, for example, the removable heads, the removable hands. That's yes. Definitely moving in the right direction because that's different displays that you can have as you see fit. Right. So Mattel is absolutely moving in the right direction on that. And that with them adding that piece, I have zero complaints about stuff to add to the figures.
Right. And for let me backtrack over to the FTC. As I've mentioned, I keep my figures in package. So it doesn't bother me that they have the Ruthless Aggression style bodies. I'm speaking for the collectors.
That are actually opening them and displaying them?
Opening them and displaying them and right. playing with them. You know, they want more articulation. But again, that goes back. FTC is a mom and pop shop where basically Mattel is a Walmart. So their cost is a little bit higher than what Mattel's would be. So to do a Deluxe Aggression style body, it wouldn't be easy for them. And it would come with an extra cost that I don't know if they can do. That's the bottom line. Now, moving on to Mattel, I agree with you 100%. Adding extra hands, adding extra faces like they do with the Stephanie and the milk truck.
Right.
I think adding those things warrants putting down the money for it. Could you imagine if back in the day, mom and dad had to plop down $20 for an LJN, you know?
Well, dude, they came close after shipping on some of the black cards that we got.
Good call. That's actually a good point. I don't know. Mattel is going in the right direction. I think with the Rob Schamberger paintings, I think that's a great add-in.
Oh, it's a tremendous touch to the elites. Absolutely.
That makes it so much better and so much better than those backgrounds that they were putting out. Nice try, but that one didn't work.
Yeah, the Schamberger touch is really, really nice, and I hope that they continue with it.
Right, because I think he's only up to Elite 62, I believe.
Something like that, yeah.
I hope they extend that, because the Schamberger paintings for those is absolutely awesome and a great, great touch. And again, I agree with you, dude, having multiple hands, heads, all that stuff, great touch on that.
But to his point about the angle and the Jordan with the straps coming down, that goes back to what we've always said about having cloth accessories as opposed to molded. Because with molded, you can't really do that. With a cloth, no problem. You know, you just fold them down. So maybe more cloth. But look, Mattel's even going more in that direction. You look at that new Matt Hardy that's coming out. You know, Mattel, to me, is definitely moving in the right direction for both the mint on card collector and the loose collector. So really, like where we see and where Mattel stand right now, with where they're going, I'm totally okay with it. I know FTC... You know, there's more stuff in the hopper going on over there, more names. That's a beautiful thing. So really, I'm loving where both companies are heading right now. Definitely in the right direction.
It's a great time to be a collector again. Just need to figure out the Toys R Us situation.
Yeah, man. And to that point, I know it was all over Twitter this week. Toys R Us rejected that guy that runs Bratz. He put in that bid. They rejected it.
How much did he want to put down? Was it $675 million?
It was around that number, yeah, to keep, like, I think 200 to 300 stores open.
I don't know. I think that was just kind of a, hey, let's give it a shot if it doesn't work.
Which, you're right. No, that's correct, because he said that he's not giving up. There will be another bid. So I'm not giving up hope just yet that there still might be a few Toys R Us's living after this whole Toys R Us apocalypse happens. There still might be a few standing, because that dude is not done bidding yet. So... more power to you, man. Up that number. Let's keep Toys R Us around.
Scott, by the way, JT, thank you for your weekly question. We missed it last week.
Thank you, sir.
Scott, we are going to do a little booking, fantasy wrestling figure booking, that is. Because like you told Xavier Woods, intoxicated on Bourbon Street.
Allegedly.
No, this happened.
It really happened, yeah.
I can vouch for it.
I was there, sort of.
You weren't there for Kota Ibushi.
No. The elevator was not upstairs anymore. It was at the very bottom floor.
Kota Ibushi.
Okay, stop. It's very embarrassing.
So, like you told Xavier Woods on Bourbon Street on Wednesday night, we don't fantasy book on this show. All we talk about is wrestling figures. Well, we do talk wrestling figures, but we're going to do a little wrestling figure booking. So, Scott, this was a brainchild of yours. What did you have in mind regarding this?
When the fireworks and everything was going off at WrestleMania and the show was starting up and Seth Rollins came out, it's got to be the show and doing this every week with you. I saw Seth and I'm like, dude, that would be a cool figure. And then I immediately got my phone out and I'm like, let's start taking notes on which guys come out in the coolest costumes who would make a really, really good elite figure. Or who would make a really good three-pack? Or who would make an even better entrance grate? So I put notes in my phone, emailed you today, and you and I have fantasy booked Mattel's WrestleMania 34 elite / three-pack / entrance grates for next year.
We did. So Scott, you've got a jump start on me because this was your brainchild. What figures would you like to see?
Yes, and keep in mind, these notes have been in my phone since sitting there in the Superdome watching WrestleMania 34. So what I did is I know that they do four elites for WrestleMania, right?
Correct.
So these are the four that I picked. Now, I know you guys are going to be screaming in whatever device you're listening to, oh, you should have done this and you should have done that. We'll have time for honorable mentions at the end. First up, Alexa Bliss.
That was one I had down on my list. I kind of jotted down some names, and I think you and I are basically on the same. I agree with you 100%. Her outfit was awesome for Mania. Looked fantastic. I'm talking about the outfit. Well, she looked fantastic too.
Yeah,
but
all around, dude.
Oh, yeah. Anywho, Alexa was the first one I put down on my list. Obviously, I think you and I have some other ones that we both agreed on.
Yeah, and you know, actually, Alexa could double as an entrance grate, but I've saved that spot for someone else who greatly deserves the entrance grate. So Alexa is my first. Next up, and this would be awesome if this was her first figure, Ronda Rousey.
I wasn't wowed by her outfit. I'm thinking of outfits like a lot of people had amazing outfits for that night. So I'm thinking of just outfits. Hers was just the coat and wrestling gear.
Well, it was the mini skirt kilt.
Okay. Good call.
And see, that's elite to me. You've got the jacket and you've got the kilt. They're going to mold both. That's elite accessories. And why not have her first figure be an elite based off of her very first match in the company?
Okay.
Again, my opinion, you know, you have your list of four. I have my list of four. She just made mine.
Okay, gotcha.
So who did you have in your second spot?
I obviously had Seth.
Okay, see, he's on my list of a possible basic. I didn't make a list of basics, but when I was thinking, okay, would this guy be an elite or would he be a basic? That one hit my list of basics.
See, I had that one down as an elite. And just because, well, I mean, we always complain about there's so many Seth figures and they've done so many Seth figures.
There are.
I don't know. I just thought, giving him the blue eyes and the outfit.
Well, you package the IC title with him.
There you go. That's what I was thinking right there.
But see, then you have the Walmart Then, Now, and Forever Seth Rollins, just with blue eyes and not regular colored eyes.
But you know that all they have to do is just add a dab of blue to the eyes and all they have to and put that out and it'll sell.
Yeah, and good brother Ethan's salivating.
That is true.
Take his money. Okay, Seth is a good call, dude. I just had that one more as a basic because there have been so many Seth elites with a title. This one, really, the only difference would be the blue eyes. So that's why he didn't make my list.
Okay, gotcha. Go ahead.
And my next one is actually a tag team. So that rounds out the final two in my elite set of four. And that would be the Bludgeon Brothers.
I didn't even think of the Bludgeon Brothers.
You've got the hammers, you've got the masks, you've got the jackets, and you've got the SmackDown tag titles.
And you got to buy both to get the tag titles.
You got to buy both, see?
Just like Heath Slater and Rhino.
Exactly. Yeah, the terrible Rhino.
I had down Nicholas.
Okay, stop, dude. If you can't take this seriously, I'll have you thrown out of here.
What? WWE didn't take it seriously at Mania, so why can't I?
I'm also pissed because you just stole my joke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ran right over the top of me. You're a regular Dane Cook.
What was your joke, by the way?
Well, he's in my honorable mentions.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'll get over it.
Okay, I'm joking about Nicholas. I obviously had down Charlotte. I thought the outfit was cool.
Okay.
I didn't have down Miz. I do not like that outfit. I mean, I could see it being made into an elite, but I was not a fan of that outfit. I thought that outfit was terrible.
He, to me, is the one most likely. Now, he didn't make my list. Spoiler, he might have made my honorable mentions. I think he's actually the most likely one to be included in the WrestleMania set next year. I can almost 100% guarantee Miz is going to be in that set.
I agree. That outfit was terrible, but I can see it being made.
Yeah, I can too.
And just all the accessories that will come with him will make up for not having the IC belt or a belt in there or something.
Yes. Yes.
And see, it would be tough to release one without the other, but I had down Triple H with the mask.
See, that was a good one. That one also made my honorable mention list, but I equated the mask to the Then Now Forever Shield 3-pack.
Exactly. So if they had those left over, they can just slap it on the Triple H.
Yes. And then you basically put the same jacket on him that was on his other elite figure from last year's WrestleMania, and you've got Triple H from 34. So that one just seemed too easy to me. But again, like The Miz, probably most likely to be made.
Right. And plus, the Triple H's that they've been releasing lately that have been capturing the current Triple H look have just been fantastic.
Oh, home runs, dude. Absolute home runs.
So that's my four. I didn't think of basics. So if you've got basics.
The basic, I had Seth Rollins and I had Finn Balor. And those are really my only two. You could also throw Asuka in there as a basic. They haven't done her robe yet. So I'm hoping at some point that's an entrance grate. Not necessarily from WrestleMania, but Asuka with the robe and the mask, NXT title probably. That would be an amazing entrance grate. But I did do an entrance grate pick, just one. And this person had the best outfit of the night, possibly the best entrance of the night, and that was Charlotte Flair.
Charlotte's was excellent. I could see that one being a, well, you're right. That one would be an entrance grate. It shouldn't be an elite. It should be an, well, it would be an elite scale, but it should be an entrance grate. You're right.
And I think it would be great to have the sound module not play her current theme song, but to play Ric Flair's theme song like it did at WrestleMania. That would just be a killer touch. The whole outfit, everything about that just screamed entrance grate to me when she came out. That one immediately hit my phone. Last, I think you'd be remiss if you did not mention how freaking cool New Day looked at WrestleMania. So much like a few years ago when they did the cereal box 3-pack, I would love to see a 3-pack of the New Day from this year's WrestleMania. They looked phenomenal. The outfits were on point. A New Day 3-pack, I think of their outfits at WrestleMania need to be released. Again, these are elite scale. Has to come out. And on that note, I do have a few honorable mentions.
Nicholas.
Thank you. Yes. Ha ha, hearty har. Nicholas made my list. The Bar, I think, would make great looking elites. Those are their new outfits in the kind of camo, gray, black look. I really dig it. I think it's awesome. I've read a lot of hate online about it. I dig it. I think it's cool. And finally, like I mentioned with The Miz, I can see he's probably the most likely to be made in next year's WrestleMania set because he's The Miz and he's going to sell a ton of figures. But that got an honorable mention as well. So to recap, my four are Alexa, Ronda Rousey, the Bludgeon Brothers. That is your elite series or elite WrestleMania series consisting of four figures. Entrance grate of Charlotte Flair. And finally, a 3-pack of the New Day.
That's not bad at all. I like what you did there, Scott.
Thank you. Thank you. I actually gave that a lot of thought, dude, as guys were coming out. And then I've gone back and watched it on TV since, too, just to make sure that what I was seeing live kind of made sense after the fact. And all of those guys just completely took the night for me. Their entrances, their outfits, everything about them was great. And I would love to see Mattel tackle those guys.
They're probably already tooling up everything right now.
Yeah, they're yelling out to their floor. Did you guys listen to Fully Posable yet? Get on those figures.
And hopefully they do some cloth stuff, not like the molded stuff.
Yeah, Charlotte Flair in a molded outfit would be a shame. I love that with the Bobby Roode entrance, great, that is a cloth robe. I would hope that if they ever did do a Charlotte off of her WrestleMania entrance, it would be cloth as well. I'm sure that it would be.
I could see the Miz Elite being molded.
Molded, yes, absolutely. Well, it has a molded look to it, so I would actually be okay with that.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, Bludgeon Brothers to an extent also.
I just feel bad for the collectors because it feels like, because when I popped open my Tyler Breeze Then, Now, and Forever, and I was trying to take off the vest, dude, literally it felt like I was breaking his arms trying to get the molded vest off.
Ooh, yeah, that's not good.
I don't know. The Polly Pocket stuff has got to go. I love what they're doing with the cloth, like the Glorious Robe. I know it costs more. Like the Charlotte robe in the Elite 50, was that 53, 54?
Ooh, I think it was 54.
Was it 54, 52? I can't remember. Something they like switched that. Over to the white packaging.
Yeah, the white packaging.
But anyways, it just makes things look so much better.
And sometimes it calls for it.
Yeah, exactly, like 100%.
Could you imagine that Charlotte Elite with a molded robe? That just, it wouldn't work. So it made a lot of sense to go cloth. So Mattel made the right choice there. Sometimes it calls for it.
So Scott, that rounds out our fantasy booking.
Well, kind of, sort of, yeah. We're kind of booking Mattel's sheet for them.
All they have to do is listen to the show and boom, there you go.
That's all. And is it too much to ask for an Asuka entrance grate?
The one with the long train of cloth?
Yeah. It doesn't even have to be the WrestleMania one with all the glitter and the sparkle. It doesn't even have to be that one. It could be just an Asuka in her robe and the mask and an NXT belt. Boom. Done. Entrance great.
Well, what about the one, I forget which NXT pay-per-view it was, but the one where she came out and she had this long train. It was like this cloth thing that went all the way down the ramp.
That would be tricky packaging. I mean, how do you fit the rest of the train up into the package? That would be the tricky part.
Yeah, you display it on the back and say it comes with this or something.
Just let it hang out of the back. Just cut a hole in the back of the pack and just dump the train out of the back. I would love to see it, but that I could see on Mattel's end, that would be pretty tricky to make it happen.
So, Scott, that rounds out our fantasy booking, wrestling figure fantasy booking. No fantasy booking storylines on this show.
No, not at all. But, hey, maybe we could do it again next year's WrestleMania.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you told Xavier Woods.
Never going to live that down.
Oh, my God, dude. I was shaking my head. My head was in my hand, dude. I was just like, oh, no, Scott.
Hey, at least I didn't try to give him vodka.
Hey, that was for a picture, and he turned it down. So I was like, all right, at least we're getting the picture.
Gosh.
Oh, man. It's funny you sent out a tweet to him to apologizing for that.
I did. I felt horrible the next day. I felt horrible in more ways than one.
I don't think you got a like out of it or anything like that, but it was still funny that you sent that tweet over.
I didn't need it. I just had to apologize. I felt horrible bugging the guy on Bourbon Street. Gosh.
You can issue a full-blown apology right here.
No, it's okay. I'm sure he's not listening. All I'll say is Squat's a jerk, and if he offended anyone, he was extremely sorry, and that's why he's been put back in his cage.
I don't know. Good brother Ethan was trying to get long live Squat trending.
Long live Squat. No, don't encourage Squat. He's a horrible person. Although I think Brandon liked him.
No, Squat is fun, dude. Squat is fun when he comes out and plays.
Oh gosh. Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. No, Squat,
trust me, dude. I know some other alter egos that just aren't nice. When you hang out with cool alter egos, then it gets cool, dude. Then it's cool.
We'll have to find out who Brandon's alter ego is. And Squat and Brandon's alter ego will be together again soon.
Brandon's Houdini, dude. I don't know how he got up on that balcony.
Yeah, he's a ninja.
I think we're going to have to talk to him about that.
I think he has a grappling hook. That's how he got up there so quickly.
Scott, we're going to do Who Did It Better, and we're going to kind of bring the show down with this one. Sorry, guys, but hopefully you'll listen in on this. So, Scott, I think it's time we did Who Did It Better. Glorious! No, I won't give in. Scott, sorry, listeners, we're going to bring this show down a little bit. We're going to do Who Did It Better. And this past week, as everyone knows, Bruno Sammartino passed away, which shocked the living hell out of me, dude. Because last time I saw Bruno on television, he looked great being in the 80s.
Yeah, he was in phenomenal shape.
He looked fantastic. So when Brian Breaker texted me and said that Bruno passed away, I was in shock. I was driving to work and I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, what more can you say about Bruno that hasn't already been said on Twitter? The guy, a Hall of Famer, he was WWF/WWF for years. Tremendous in-ring talent. You know, everything that's been said about him, multiply it by 10. You know, just a phenomenal talent. And I've always put him on my Mount Rushmore of wrestling. He's always been up there for me just because of what he contributed to the business in the 60s and the 70s, early part of the 80s. Just he was wrestling for the longest time. I mean, he was Madison Square Garden. And to lose him, you know, that's more history of wrestling that's not here anymore. And that's sad.
He was like the king of New York, dude.
Oh, absolutely. He was the king of New York. Madison Square Garden was his home.
Yeah, there weren't many Yankees at that time that were bigger than Bruno. Bruno was the king of New York at that time.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was Vince Sr.'s guy. And that guy, with as long as he held the world title, that tells you everything you need to know about Bruno. You know, they had all the confidence in the world in him, and he was their champion. He was the one representing the promotion, and he ran with it. He was the guy. I mean, just a stud. And like I said, he's on my Mount Rushmore of wrestling. Absolutely. Because I kind of went with guys that carried the business for a number of years. So him, Hogan, Stone Cold, and Vince Jr. That's my Mount Rushmore.
That's your Mount Rushmore, huh?
Absolutely. 100%.
Also, sticking with wrestlers passing away, Paul Jones also passed away.
Yeah, that one is sad too. I remember Paul Jones mostly for being a heel manager back in the day in the NWA. I remember he managed Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez, and Rick Rude when they beat the Rock and Roll Express for the tag team titles.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Put a tear in Jeff's eye. yeah, I remember him just being that really hateable heel manager, kind of like a Jim Cornette, but not as over the top as Cornette was, but a tremendous talent, was great at his job, really got the fans hating him. And another, unfortunately, another loss for us as wrestling fans leaves another huge hole out there.
I remember Paul Jones also as the heel manager on NWA. I just remember him. He managed Rude and Manny Fernandez. And then he also managed Barbarian.
Yeah, that's right. And Shaska Watley.
Shaska Watley, yes, who was formerly Pez Watley.
Correct, a face. And then he turned him heel.
And then he turned him heel, yeah.
And he hated the Boogie Woogie Man.
Yes, yes. And who was the other person that was in that group?
Oh, gosh. Oh, he managed the Powers of Pain.
Not in WWF.
No, in NWA.
Yes, yeah. Because they were there for a brief hot minute, right?
Yeah, it was really quick. They had the feud with LOD, and then that was pretty much it. But he was Powers of Pain manager.
Yeah, because originally Warlord was managed by Baby Doll.
Baby Doll, that's correct.
And then Paul Jones got a hold of him. They formed the Powers of Pain.
Correct.
Who's the bald-headed guy that was in that group along with...
Baron Von Raske?
Baron, there you go. Yeah. I was thinking of that one too, because I remember when we used to edit, we'd watch a lot of NWA Saturday Night, and I'd see Paul Jones all the time. So
yeah, another tremendous loss.
Yeah. So anyways, rest in peace to those two gentlemen. Scott, we're gonna do who did it better, Bruno Sammartino. Do you want to go over the figures that Bruno had?
Yeah, absolutely. There's not a huge sample size here, so we don't have that many to pick from. We start off with his LJN. Which actually I thought that they did a really, really good job on. I love that this was kind of Bruno in his later years. It's his look that I kind of remember him being on when he wrestled on the Saturday morning show. But I love that they got him because he had the slick back hair, but I love that they got him in that traditional old school kind of knees bent, arms out at the side, like ready for a grapple. I loved that pose that they had Bruno in the LJN. It was perfect. I didn't really use that Bruno a lot as a kid. We had him because we picked him up on that same day that we got SD Jones when I stole that SD Jones out of that dude's hands. We got Bruno on that same day, and we didn't really use, well, at least I know didn't use Bruno that much because he wasn't really wrestling on TV as much. So I gravitated more towards the guys that were on TV. But when I would use that Bruno, he was in a really, really good pose. Like he was just ready to go. And I've always loved that pose on that Bruno Sammartino figure. Next, we had the FTC version of Bruno, not their current day look, but these were the old plastic posable figures that they released some legends of. They had Ricky Steamboat, Greg Valentine, Abdullah the Butcher, and Bruno Sammartino was in that line. So you've got that one. I believe there was also a bloody version of him as well. Same figure, just with blood. Then you have his classic superstars from Jax. And finally, you have the Mattel Hall of Fame Bruno Sammartino.
The LJN one, I don't really remember him wrestling on Saturday mornings.
If he had two matches, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, right. So I was always confused because we obviously didn't have the network back in the 80s. I was confused why they put him in a wrestler outfit and not a commentator outfit.
Well, because at the time, remember David Sammartino was on TV a little bit. And yeah, sure. I believe Bruno wrestled in a series of tag matches with his son. And I want to say they faced Beefcake and Johnny Valiant, if I'm not mistaken.
Man, I don't remember that. If anything, I want to say, wasn't that on Coliseum Home Videos?
I believe it was. Yeah, it was on one of their volumes that they released. But I think that's why they put Bruno in his wrestling attire and not his announcing attire.
I grew up with him as the commentator. I never understood why they put him in the outfit or the wrestling outfit. And I was really confused by it because I saw him once wrestle on Coliseum Home Video. And so I didn't think that warranted a wrestling outfit. That's like Mean Gene Okerlund. He wrestled once with Hulk Hogan. And does that mean they have to throw him in a wrestling outfit?
Well, they haven't done that yet, as far as I know. But would it make sense to have two announcers in your LJN line? Because you already had Vince.
And you had Gene.
Well, yeah, for your like backstage interviews or whatever. But as far as like ringside commentators, I don't know that it would may have made much sense to do two like in suits.
Right.
Maybe that's why they put him in his wrestling outfit. And looking back, I'm happy that he was in his wrestling outfit and not announcer outfit.
I do agree with you with the pose, because his hands were out.
Very old school.
No knee pads. It screamed 70s wrestler Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah, no elbow pads, no knee pads, blue trunks, black boots, slick back hair, grapple pose, ready to go. It was a great throwback look figure, and it's a great looking LJN.
The FTC one, sorry Chris, but I don't have much to say about it.
Yeah.
I did get the Abdullah the Butcher and got it autographed. Not and Abdullah. I'm sorry.
Captain Lou.
Captain Lou.
Yeah, I did the same.
Yeah, I did get that. The Jax, I was always confused why they packaged him with a chair.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Yeah, that was a weird accessory.
It was like, we have an abundance of chairs, so throw them in with Bruno.
Yeah. Where's that dumpster out back with all the chairs?
Yeah. Good figure, though. Good Bruno.
Good Bruno. Bruno had the Jax body.
He did. He had the barrel chest.
Yep. And it just fit perfectly.
It did.
However, the best figure done was by Mattel. And Bill, great job on that one, man. It captured Bruno perfectly. It came with a podium. It came with the Hall of Fame trophy. The look on him was fantastic. Awesome figure. Awesome figure.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's one of the finest figures that Mattel has ever done. I have not one bad thing to say about that figure, and I agree with you. That is absolutely my favorite Bruno. Caught his look from the 70s perfectly. I mean, perfectly. And then you get the best of both worlds because you have his old look and then you have his Hall of Fame plaque. And it's an awesome figure. And I've seen a couple of them on Twitter since he passed of people that had them signed. And kudos to you for having that in your collection, because what an amazing piece.
Even though Mattel doesn't have that Jax body, I thought they did well with the, like you said, the barrel chest, the painted on hair.
Yeah.
It does scream Bruno. I thought that was an excellent, excellent figure. I think it was the best one, and I forget what Elite Series that is. I want to say it was 25? Ooh. I want to say it was 25, but I want to say that was the best figure in that series, because I remember I went to Denver for work, and when I went there, I was like, oh, they got Elite 25. And I was like, man, this Bruno's excellent. And I ended up picking it up and bringing it home from Denver.
Nice.
Yeah, glad I did. I wish I would have met him to get it signed, but...
Yeah, he hasn't done many signings in recent years, and it's funny because I was talking with Ed at WrestleMania about that. We actually got on the subject of Bruno, and we were talking about how he hasn't really done many appearances, and I think his last autograph signing was like a year or two ago, and it was announced as his last signing. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, those of you that were big fans of his, I know Brandon has posted that he didn't get to meet him. He wanted to. You've got to get out and meet your heroes, because unfortunately these kinds of things happen and it's tremendously sad.
Okay, actually, I'm looking at Elite 25 right now. Yeah, the Bruno was the best one. Let me go over that series. It was Dean, Seth. Wow, nothing's changed. Sheamus, Brodus Clay, a smiling Brodus Clay, which, yeah. Sin Cara and Bruno Sammartino. Yeah, the Bruno was the best.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal Bruno figure. I hope that they do more of his too.
Hopefully in a commentator outfit.
I would not be opposed to that at all.
As I put out on Twitter, whether it was commentary or wrestling, Bruno was one of the best. He really was. Just like Gorilla, just like Bobby, they were great. Those guys just had it for the business. They just knew how to reel people in. And, you know, unfortunately we've lost them and we're losing our greats, Scott. Sucks.
Yeah, we are. And it does suck. Because every time it happens, it's another piece of your childhood that goes away. You know, it really sucks, man. But RIP Bruno, for everything that he did for wrestling, thank you.
So yes, Scott, RIP Bruno. Scott, before we sign off, guess what we get to do?
Scream into our microphones and deafen our listeners.
Hopefully the radio's turned up. No, Scott, we get to pick for the Fully Posable Magnificent Seven Fantasy Wrestling League.
That's fun too.
Yes, we finished last season. Unfortunately, the Fully Posable boys came in second.
Aww.
But congratulations to Jeremy Conrad, who is scorekeep. By the way, I want to recount.
Yeah, this could be a Florida situation all over again. Did we really lose by 21 points?
I know, right? He'd probably do a recount and we lost by 6. We'd still end up losing.
Yeah, exactly. We're still losers.
Jeremy, you have to go all the way back to around SummerSlam and redo everything, man.
Rewatch every Raw, every SmackDown, every pay-per-view. Yeah.
Just kidding. Congratulations, Jeremy. We're happy for you.
Congrats, buddy.
What we're going to do is we're going to pick one number, and then I have a hat, which is also known as the Godfather's hat.
It's pulling double duty.
You said duty. Scott,
I did.
So it has the seven participants' names into this hat. So I'm shuffling up the numbers, and I'm going to reach in over here, and I'm grabbing number 6.
Okay, so the person that you draw, or the team that you draw, is drafting at spot number 6.
That is 100% correct. Picking number 6, Scott, CJ Mullins.
Ooh, former number 1.
Yes, exactly.
Picking at number 6.
So I'm going to reach in and grab another number, Scott. Number 2. Number 2, I took one of those before we started. And...
excellent. Thank you for sharing. And also quit bragging.
And it's a great way to stay in shape. And the name I'm drawing for number 2 is Connor Langan. Connor's picking number 2.
And Connor's not keeping anybody, so he's going to have pick of the litter.
Right, right.
I said, does he pick Rousey at number 2?
Ooh, that would be a good pick, huh?
Scintillating.
All right, Scott. Picking number 7, dead last.
Ooh, ouch.
Will be, and reaching into the Godfather's hat, Rant with Ant. Sorry, good brother Ant.
No, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because he gets the back-to-back swing, so that's a pretty good spot to be in.
All right, Scott, I'm reaching over number 3. Number 3 will go to Mike the Cleaner. Mike the Cleaner will be picking number 3.
Ooh, Big Mike. Hitting third. I like it.
So we've got 4, 5, and the lucky number 1.
Is it lucky?
I don't know. I'm reaching over here. Number 5 will be picked by...
come on, us.
Brandon. Brandon. Ooh. Hova.
Brandon, sitting in the spot that I wanted. Darn it.
So 2 names left.
If you pick one, you're fired from the show forever. But go ahead. Proceed to pick.
All right, Scott. Shuffling it around. Number 1 will be picked by...
don't pick our name. Don't pick our name. Don't pick our name.
Us.
Dude, really?
Leaving number 4 to scorekeep Jeremy Conrad.
Really? Really?
That's the way it worked out.
Number 1.
So number 1 pick, our keeper is Seth Rollins. Is there any way we can... oh, wait, is there anybody else that we would be interested in at number 1?
Well, we have to sort out through who's keeping who. So we'll be hitting up on the message tonight on who's keeping who, that maybe we can have that finaled by tomorrow night so that we can figure out who's available in the pool, and then maybe we can throw Seth back. But we'll see. We'll see. You and I can discuss.
Sorry, dude. I know you didn't want number 1.
No, I didn't. We could also erase this segment so that it never happened.
No, we are loyal, honest, and I forget what else. I've been called many names in my life. Loyal and honest aren't one of them.
Darn it.
But that is the way the names have been picked. Scott, maybe throw Seth back and get Rousey?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay, gotcha.
No, definitely not.
So anyways, that's the draft order for this upcoming Sunday. Also, everyone, you can head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net, pick up the Fully Posable Cardback t-shirt, any of our past t-shirts. And if you're on Pro Wrestling Tees, why don't you head over to Breaker and Bane's store, grab yourself one of their t-shirts. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Thank you to the editor for giving us the middle finger emoji.
Thank you, editor.
If you can send us...
we worked hard for that.
You can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, for episode 118, anything else?
Yes. I hate that you drew us at number 1 in the Magnificent 7 League. I don't know that I'll ever forgive you for that. This might go up there with the breaking of my kiss
figures.
It's
funny, dude, because whenever we do the drawing for fantasy baseball or fantasy football drafts, I do not want number 1. I always want number 4, 5, or 6.
Right.
I always want smack dab in the middle.
Right. That's where I want it to be, and you failed me.
I'm sorry.
I don't know that I'll ever forgive you.
If you can forgive me for breaking Peter Criss and Paul Stanley, I think you can forgive me for this.
No, I haven't forgiven you for that.
Oh.
No, you, all these years later, you are still not forgiven. You are not.
Yeah, I wasn't talking to you until we started the show.
Exactly. Exactly. We went years without speaking, and that was in the 70s. Aside from those hard feelings towards my co-host, please continue to follow and support at Jason Wolf. That's at Jason WLF on Twitter, as well as at Extra Cooler and at Pollyanna DIY. Please continue to follow and support those guys. They do amazing work. And aside from that, happy toy hunting.
Also, check out Breaker and Bane's Power Hour. Other than that, hashtag Fig Life. Adios.